Bender's Post Game Live, presented by InsideTheRink.com, the Inside the Rink Podcast Network. Maddie Smitty, game six recap. Toronto Maple Leafs win it 2-1. The second straight 2-1 win for Toronto. The series is now tied at 3 apiece with game 7 coming up Saturday. And this one was all about the Bruins just not being able to get as many pucks on net, particularly early on in the game, as they need to get.
Yeah, I mean, it sucked. The whole thing sucked.
It was awful.
I hate it. I tweeted it out towards the end. I hated everything about it. I thought they played decent in the first period. People call me an idiot. I mean, whatever. The shot attempts were fairly even. And I thought they played a pretty good road period. They just couldn't get a fucking shot on the actual goal. Fucking seven shots blocked, five missed, or five blocked, seven missed. One shot on net. I mean, and then the second period, I mean, they had their moments, but Joseph Woll, when he came in, it changed the series around. Like, all of a sudden, you know, it was just like Bobrovsky in the Florida series last year. And the Bruins are going to lose because it's in their heads now. It's in the fans' heads. It's in everyone's heads. They're going to lose. Monty's going to be fired. There should be big changes to the roster. It's a fucking train wreck, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy now. They're going to lose Game 7 at home, and everybody's going to lose their shit, lose their minds. And it's going to be just an absolute shit show. And I'm not really sure I want to watch, as a matter of fact. But, I mean, I will because I have to. But Yeah, it's not going to be fun.
I agree. And I think that it's definitely in their heads. I think they came out and, like you said, played okay in the first. I mean, it wasn't like they came out and just were on their heels or anything, or that they played extremely timid. They just couldn't get a bunch of shots on net, and they started to get into a groove and actually were playing, you know, fairly well toward the end of the period. So I was okay with it. I mean, you want to get more shots on net, obviously, but they were trying to be too perfect a lot. And I'll tell you what the real issue is. I really believe they're just not getting enough really good offensive center play from Pavel Zacha and Charlie Coyle. I just don't think they're getting enough from those guys. And this is another issue, that the same issue that we've had talked about before, is the playmaking center thing. Like, they just don't have like a elite playmaking center. And when this, and when the thing goes bad, like, who do you turn to try to generate some offense? And then Marchand and Pasternak try to play one-on-one, and guys are trying to do things that outside of the comfort zone, and it just gets out of whack. And I just think that tonight they just, you know, too many shots, like too timid, trying to make an extra pass. Now they don't know. Now so many shots are getting blocked that they're trying to make an extra move, trying to make an extra pass, trying to get the right shooting lane. Like, and give Toronto credit, they are a much different team than they have been in the past, because they are dedicated to blocking shots and getting in passing lanes and getting sticks, you know, in the passing lanes and shooting lanes and everything. So they do a good job of it, and they're doing a better and better job of it as they've watched film through the series. So give them credit too, but Boston's just not creating enough high danger chances. Not until like the 13 minutes left in the third was when they had a heavy scramble. The Bruins had all sorts of chances, don't score, and right then I was like, this is just, it's not their night.
No, yeah, I mean, you could see it from a mile away. The puck just wasn't bouncing for them tonight, and I mean, it's a foregone conclusion. I mean, the coaching staff, I feel like, for the Bruins has not made any adjustments at all, other than tinkering with the lineup when he shouldn't have fucking tinkered with the lineup.
Right.
They try the same play. It's up the boards. Toronto is crashing down on those guys to make it hard for them to get the puck out of the zone, and it's a chip out to nowhere. Toronto recollects the puck, gets it deep, and then the same fucking thing happens again. Make some fucking adjustments to your breakout to get out of the zone with some speed. They have not done it all series. A couple of times, Toronto's jumped up. The second layer of their trap has jumped up, and the Bruins have gotten a guy. Like, Geeky went around a guy because the Toronto guy got out of position a little bit. But you can't expect that to happen all the time. It's not, no. You're not going to get a Toronto guy to make a mistake every time for you to break the puck out and get offensive zone entry. You have to change the way you decide to break the puck out of your zone so you can have some speed through the neutral zone and chip the puck in when guys have speed, not when they're standing still at the fucking blue line. You can't go and retrieve pucks if you're standing still at the blue line. Right. And then the first layer for Toronto is holding up the first forechecker. So they have an easy exit every fucking time. Change something.
Every time. So they come in. Yeah, they'll come in hard to the blue line. Everybody's standing there. Flip it in. No one has any speed or any momentum to go get it. They don't get it. And then Toronto's quicker anyway. They go back and get it, and they come right back, transition the other way. Happened over and over and over and
over.
It's
happened the whole fucking series.
The whole series long. In 5-on-5 play, the Bruins have gotten not nearly enough chances or anything offensively because of that. They're so easy to defend right now. And when they do get a lane up the wing, they go all the way around the net, all the way back the other side, no shot on net. And then how many times is David Pastrnak going to take the puck into the zone, wait, and the second defender comes and closes the space and there's nothing there. Like, there's nothing there. So you have to do something else to create some offense and, like you said, some speed going forward into the zone. And it's just not happening. Now, they had a decent second period where they outshot Toronto and they started to get a little bit of rhythm. They don't get anything in front of the net. They've got JVR and Maroon and Brazo out there. None of them can skate. I mean, it's painful to watch Brazo and Maroon carry the puck up the ice.
Yeah, I mean,
takes forever.
I mean, it does. And that's not their game. So, The Bruins have to have guys with speed carry the puck through the neutral zone. That's why I couldn't fucking stand the lineup the other night when Brazo and Maroon are on the same line. It's like watching fucking paint dry with a guy who's trying in the middle to paint 1,000 miles an hour and he can't fucking do it because the other two guys are stuck in the mud. It's just, Montgomery's in-game decision-making and decision-making as far as it relates to the lineup is fucking awful. And he's got to be called out on. I mean, it's awful. He just, he'll just mix the lines up randomly.
Right.
He'll randomly take it guys in and out of the lineup when they're having right success.
Away. Impatient. Yep.
I don't get it. And it all goes back to that. It all goes back to game four when they switched the lines without any fucking reason to and gave the Leafs momentum that they didn't need to give them.
Yeah, they went a period and a half almost without a 5-on-5 shot. Like without a 5-on-5 shot on goal.
The Bruins had one power play in this game?
They had one power play.
One power play chance in the last game.
And it was zero shots.
The only reason the Bruins right now are in this series and have not gone home already is because early in the series, they were getting power play calls and they were converting. Five on five, the Leafs are the better team.
Better team.
It's plain and simple. Yeah. The Bruins' top six has been dominated by the Leafs' top six. Matthews in game two, Nylander tonight, Domi in the faceoff circle. Their top six has been much, much better than your top six has.
But the issue is, coming into the series, this is why I didn't want the Bruins to play Toronto, is because Toronto was the sixth best 5-on-5 team in the league.
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay was like 23rd.
Correct.
And I said, play Tampa Bay all day long.
Uh-huh.
And this is what you're getting.
Yeah.
Is that this is why you're losing 5-on-5. So if you're not getting power plays, which, you know what? Here's the other thing. Yeah, they missed the call on Lowry 100%. But other than that, the Bruins aren't doing a ton to draw many penalties either. By playing the style. I didn't think of any other real missed calls. I was like, Jesus, that should have been a call at all.
No.
So it's not like they're doing anything to draw them either.
No, 100%. I'm 100%. But I mean, I would go as far as to say the two calls that they made on Marchand and Pastrnak were not calls either. I really felt there probably should have been one call in the entire game, and it was the low right board. and the rest of it shouldn't have been called. But I mean, like you said, I mean, that's the playoffs. Like, you got to play through that shit. Shit happens. Yeah. You know, you got to play through it. I mean, the Bruins killed off the Leafs power plays, you know, and fucking, I feel terrible for Jeremy Swayman. He's out here battling his fucking ass off.
He's playing great.
And he's just not getting any help at all. The first goal deflects off McAvoy's knee and goes in. Why is he trying to block that shot? It's a wrister from 45 feet from the fucking
screening him but McAvoy.
Yeah, from the boards. Swayman's right there and sees it all day. And he tries to stick his knee up and block it.
Right.
Dumb play in the net. And then you push, and then you're pushing at the end, and you give up a breakaway. There's only so many breakaways he can fucking save. I mean, he saved one right before that. Like, you know, yeah, I mean, Nylander scores fucking 40 goals for a reason. So, you know, I feel terrible for fucking Swayman, but I mean, I'm at a loss. I really am. I'm at a loss.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, with the way, there's just no indication that the Bruins are going to be able to generate enough 5-on-5 offense to win, to beat this team and to win this series. And now Toronto knows that Boston is, you know, choking like they did last year.
Yeah.
It's almost a carbon copy series. It's like, you know, the goalie change and Walls playing like Bob did last year, like just completely confident. You know, whatever, and playing great, and then losing the two games in overtime in game five, just like last year. It's just like the same carbon copy thing.
Yeah.
And it's just not going to be, unless Boston comes out in the first 3 or 4 minutes and kicks one in somehow and exhales a bit. I just don't see, if Toronto scores the first goal Saturday, it's over. Might as well just shut it off.
Yeah, I mean, it's they're going to lose anyway. They're going to lose on game seven.
So if this happens, like, you have to really question now, and you talked about it before we went on the air, like, question whether or not you have to move on from one of the big name guys. Like, you have to make a real core changing move with this team if it happens. It happens too much.
Yeah,
McAvoy, I mean, Pastrnak.
Yeah,
happens too much.
I think you do.
Yeah.
I don't know who it will be. I don't know what you can get back. I don't know if it's a hockey trade where you could trade McAvoy for another, you know, top two defenseman and, you know, top pairing defenseman. That might be what it takes. I mean, I don't know. You got to do something to shake these fucking guys up. Because it's too much of the same. It's been too much of the same for a long time. Game sevens are a problem. They're now 0-6, I believe, in the last 2 years in elimination games. Yeah. That doesn't bode well for Saturday night, does it?
Nope.
The Leafs are looking
0-7 after Saturday. Then you really have to question. Like, I thought it was a little unfair with McAvoy and Pastrnak and everything, but now you really have to question whether or not these guys have it in their DNA to make any type of run anymore. And if the 2019 Game 7 really broke them, like, I mean, do we really look back to that and say that was the game that kind of changed the whole landscape and DNA of this core group? Like,
I think
now
so.
They just don't believe they can do it.
I think so.
And if we had that lasting effect for 5 years ago, I think it might have.
Yeah.
Broke them.
I mean, it broke me. Christ. I was yelling at the TV. My kid had to redo his school project because I was screaming obscenities at the TV, and he was trying to record a Spanish oral presentation, and I'm fucking screaming at the TV.
Wait a minute, you got points off for English.
Yeah, and I got banished to the fucking basement because I was yelling my fucking brains out. I think 2019 broke me too. Is my point.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't fucking know. I mean, I really don't. I'm at a loss right now. I honestly believe in my head that there is no way in hell they win game seven. Like, none.
I think you're seeing now why people were concerned about not replacing Bergeron and Krejci with a legitimate center. You're saying it now. And it's because of this situation right here in the playoffs. It's a different animal altogether.
Yeah.
And Zaka and Coyle were great all year. Like, they were great and exceeded my expectations. Yeah. But now is playing, where the rubber meets the road.
Playing a little above their pay grade, I think, sure. Right now.
Right.
You know, Zaka's a nice number two line center. Coyle's a nice number three line center. But, you know, neither one of them is really a number one.
No, of course not.
So they're playing a little above what they should be doing. And they had great years. They did. They had great years. Right. But, you know, like you said, the playoffs are an entirely different animal. They need a true A1 top center.
Right.
And, you know, they don't have one on the roster right now. And hopefully, you know, they can find one. I don't know. Maybe you trade Allmark. Maybe you trade Allmark and another piece and you can get one. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but they do need one, and the faceoffs are fucking killing them.
What I wanted to talk to you about.
I mean,
the
puck possession is just, it's all Leafs. Right. I mean, that's why you're getting dominated, and you got dominated most of the year, and they'll say, oh, quality over quantity. The reality was you didn't have the fucking puck enough because you lost most of the faceoffs. And the other team had puck possession. That's why you got outshot the majority of the time. It's it's not because you were looking for high danger chances. It's because you didn't have the puck.
You didn't have the puck. Right. And you were talking about this all year. Like, you had segments of this year during the episodes where you were talking about the shots against and the shots for, and you were like, this is kind of a dangerous thing. This is kind of a red flag. And you mentioned it several times. Yeah. Like, why do they get outshot so much? They can't be getting outshot so much. It's going to come back to bite them. And here we are.
I mean,
this is what it is.
That's what happens when you lose faceoffs all the time. You're chasing the game. You're chasing the puck. And, you know, you end up on your heels. It's hard to come out and look aggressive and fast and on top of things when you lose every single fucking faceoff.
Every single draw. And I'll tell you what, tonight they lost, because I counted five offensive zone draws cleanly, like easily cleanly, like a Bruin didn't get a stick on it at all. And it would happen at least five times in that game. And I was like, can they just win an offensive zone draw one time? And it was Zaka mostly. And Zaka has been dreadful. He was 4-for-17 last game. Coyle actually started to win some draws later tonight, but they were down. It was 68% to 31% of whatever it was, 68-32.
They finished
in the first period in this game tonight.
They finished 63% to 37. Leafs won 34-20. In the draft.
34-20. That's just not good enough. Like, that's just not good enough. And especially if you can't generate any offense.
Coyle was
not possessing the puck.
Yeah, Coyle was 8-7. Beecher was only 3-6. Zaka 1-9.
Yeah. So that's now 5-22 the last two games. I mean, you can't have that.
No,
he's the number one center.
You can't have him taking draws. You got to put somebody else on the line.
I mean, that is such a huge development. Not enough people are talking about it.
No.
That he is killing them offensively. Killing them. He's a fine defensive player. Fine. But that's a third line center. Like, he is killing them offensively right now.
Do you have to put Morgan Geeky on that line as a first line center?
I think so. I mean, wasn't tonight Marchand, Zaka Geeky tonight? Wasn't that what it was? A Marchand Coil Geeky. Marchand Coil Geeky is what it was.
Yeah. You got to take.
I don't know.
You got to do
because Zaka's not doing anything.
I mean, Geeky wasn't great, but he was 3-for-5. I mean, I'll take that over 1-for-9. So you got to.
Boqvist is winning draws. What was Boqvist? They were mentioning him as a guy who doesn't take him a lot, but he wins some.
He was 1-0.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
He won his only one. Like, I mean, at that point, from a coaching standpoint, you've got to understand that Zaka is just not getting it done.
And Freddie was 4-for-5.
Somebody
four
else.
And five.
You've got to have somebody else take those draws that matter than him. You have to understand that as a team and say, if you have to throw Beecher out there with him, if you have to throw Boqvist out there with him in an offensive zone draw, anyone else to take it or just take him off the ice, but just take it with somebody else, because you have to know that it's just not going to happen. You have to put somebody else out there, and it's just killing them.
It is. It is. Killing them. It's killing them. Yeah. And like I said, you can't have puck possession. You can't get shots on goal if you can't possess the puck. I mean, it's kind of a big deal.
How about this? Sometime in the first period, Brick said that Carlo is third on the team in shots on goal. He has like 11 or 12 in this series.
Yeah, third. I mean, he's been good.
And the only goal from a defenseman is him. That's another thing. Is there a defenseman? Although Lowry is doing a pretty good job of carrying the puck and making a play, but the defensemen are not offering enough offensively at all to help with the breakout.
No.
To get pucks through. None of it. Like, none of it. So, and Carlo's the only guy playing with any type of offensive confidence. Can you imagine?
Like, Carlo. You know, I actually thought before McAvoy had the couple of gaffes there in the late second, I thought he was having a really good game. He was physical. He had some good shots on net. I mean, they didn't get all the way through, but he had like a really good chance in the high slot. Mm-hmm. But he ended up minus two. Three shots missed. He had three block shots, 11 hits, and three giveaways in almost 27 mm-hmm. minutes, though. So, yeah. Like, I thought he was playing pretty well until he wasn't. And that's the story of the Bruins. It's like, and it has been over the course of their history. It's like, you know, maybe not in this series, but over the course of their history, it was like, oh, the Bruins dominate. And then they make one stupid play and it ends up in their net. Like, this was their MO like a few years back, like not the year before they won the President's Trophy, is like anytime they made a mistake, the puck was in their net. And it seems like that's what's going on now, is like guys will play well and then McAvoy makes a stupid icing. So he tries to make up for it with blocking a shot that he doesn't need to block. It hits off his leg and goes in. And now you're down late in the second. It was completely unnecessary. I mean, should there have been a penalty call on the board? Sure. Yeah, there should have. Yeah. But, you know, that still doesn't...
It didn't directly affect a goal.
Yeah, I mean...
Your asshole moved it.
It still doesn't... It still doesn't affect the fact that he could have carried the puck out of the zone and made a different play instead of icing it. But he didn't. So, it's those type of plays are the difference sometimes between winning and losing. And right now, their star players aren't making the plays that they need to make for the Bruins to win games and win series. And Toronto's are.
For the Maple Leafs, I'll give credit to William Nylander. He was the one who barked at Matthews on the bench.
Yeah.
He's the one who came back after three games without, on the bench because of his migraines and so forth. But he comes in and tonight he scores a huge goal for them. And, you know, it was just, you know, he has stepped up to the challenge. And like I said, as a team, Toronto has done a really good job of scouting the Bruins, finding out that this is how you beat them. And the Bruins are really not getting any pucks toward the net at all. They've been, Maple Leafs were stout in front of Wall, and Wall's playing with tremendous confidence. So, and I'll tell you what, I think, and people are going to not think it's as big a deal as I've heard some people say it, Montgomery's incessant, ability to try to change lines and stuff when you're up 3-1, he did it 2 years in a row, is just stupid. And then to say, I don't regret it, and here's, I just do what I think is best for the team. Give me the logic behind having to put Justin Brazeau in the lineup, like in a hurry when he comes back from injury and out for a while. Like, he has never played a playoff game until then. He's played 19 games his whole life in the NHL. He's a lifetime AHL player who had a nice little run at the end. Like, why do you have to get him in there for a guy who's winning faceoffs and largely playing fine?
Scored a goal early in the series. Kills penalties.
Early in the season, which you've had very few of now. You scored two in two games. Like, I don't understand what you can talk me into the Grizzlick for Shattenkirk thing because Shattenkirk wasn't great and playing 10 minutes. Yeah. Fine. Did you need to play him 19 minutes? No.
Nope.
But you can talk me into that move. Fine. But you can't talk me into this Beecher move. Like, I don't get it. And he's so quick to rip him out of the lineup. I don't understand.
He's one of the few guys on. I mean, he didn't have a good night tonight. He was 3 for 6. But he's one of the few guys on the fucking team this year that was better than 50% on draws. So why are you taking him out when draws are so important in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
Right.
I never will.
It's so important, and they're getting crushed with it. And as Charlie says, Monty's destroyed his team again in game 5 2 years in a row. He needs to go and fire him. And I'm telling you right now, if they lose Saturday, he's getting fired. There's no doubt about it.
He should be fired.
He's getting fired.
He should be fired. As a matter of fact, even if they win, I would consider it.
I would consider it too.
I would consider it because I don't like the way that he's handled. Out. Yeah, I mean, I don't like the way he's handled the playoffs at all. I don't like the way he's handled it, and I don't like the way that they haven't really made any in-game adjustments. I don't like the way he yanks guys in and out of the lineup. I don't like the way that he changes lines on the fly all game long, and he doesn't let guys kind of build a chemistry or work through something if they're having issues. I'm fine with changing them up here and there, but it's like a constant thing.
Yeah, if one shift is bad, let's change
it. It's every really game. Crazy. It's much too kind of fly by the seat of his pants, it feels like to me. So
and Bart says Maroon on the ice with 3 minutes left. I texted you.
Yes, you did.
And I'm like, what is Maroon doing out there with 3 minutes left? Like, what is he doing out there? He can't do anything.
I need a goal. Some of those decisions too, and I don't know if that falls on Monty or it falls on the offensive coach, like Chris Kelly. Like, you're not defending a lead, Chris.
No,
you're not defending a lead. Put your goal scorers on the ice.
Yeah,
you know, if that's the time you want to change lines, then load up. Then you know, go with your Pastrnak and Marchand and Coyle or DeBrusk or whoever you think is going to score goals and Lowry and McAvoy, like put the guys you think could score goals out there, not fucking Pat Maroon.
No. Pat Maroon's role is to be an enforcer type, to add a little bit of grit, to add a little bit of, toughness, a little bit of swagger, but he plays his 10 minutes. Like at the end of the game, when you need a goal, he doesn't need to be out there at all. Like don't touch the ice. And Pastrnak and Marchand and DeBrusk, those guys just need to be out over and over and over again. Double shift them all. Like just, they need to be out there. Like,
yeah, I mean, a lot of other coaches will do that. They'll double shift like their star players. I don't feel like that happens here unless occasionally they'll put Past out with like the fourth line or something like that.
Right.
But they need to like almost go to three lines at some point here and just get guys out there that can put the puck in the net. You need to do something.
3 minutes left, I'd go to two lines.
Yeah, I just, mean,
you know.
So. Yeah. Let's roll through some of these comments. I want to read them all because everybody's pissed off, and I love it. Michael Prentiss says, what a terrible game by Boston. And, man, where'd Pass's explosiveness go? Panthers are enjoying the rest while this now slugfest has been going on almost a whole extra week. And, Michael, you are 100% correct, sir. Yeah, the Panthers are sitting here watching these two teams beat the crap out of each other and then are going to raw dog either one of these teams. Yes. In the next round. So you are 100% right. Beth says we chased the game. She is also correct. Also, one shot on goal in 20 minutes. That is also correct,
and
Beth.
It was shorthanded.
And it was shorthanded. Pajman says two games with Matthews out and a rookie goalie, and they combined for 3 first period shots in those games. Coyle, Zaka, Pastrnak, McAvoy, Lindholm.
Any of these guys,
wake the fuck up. Infuriating. And yes, Pajman, I am infuriated. Yeah. If you've been listening and watching the whole time, you would have seen that. Beth says, if we win game 7, will we get smashed by Florida? Yes, Beth, we will. So we have that to look forward to,
right?
Which is nice. AC says, and then 7 puke emojis. So he's feeling good. They need to get the best D-man in free agency, the best center in free agency, and trade Pasta and C-Mac and a goalie for a lot of first-round picks.
Okay.
That would certainly be a shakeup. I'm not sure if I'm ready to go that drastic, AC. Yeah. But they do need to kind of mix things up because there's something with this core that isn't working now. So I agree with you that there should be some kind of a shakeup, but maybe not to that extent. Beth says we didn't have the salary cap to get a top center, and that's true. You would have had to trade someone off of your team.
The roster,
right. Pajman says they were unbelievably lucky to be tied in game five after each period. And so, same with tonight, being scoreless until the late second. They had countless opportunities to snatch both games, mentally broken team. And I would say, yes, they did have countless opportunities, and they just haven't been able to bury their chances. And they are mentally broken. And I think, as Matt said, that may have gone back to the 2019 Cup loss. Not all of those guys were on that 2019 team, but a lot of these guys were on the team last year when they gagged it away to Florida, and they haven't won a first round series now in going on 3 years. Lots of issues. Philippe says angry faces and what else are those?
Trolls and crying, laughing.
Charlie says Monty destroyed this team again in game five, 2 years in a row. He needs to go, fire him. I'm on board, Charlie. I wasn't. I was kind of a Monty guy, but there's really no excusing this at this point. There just isn't. Too many poor decisions with lineup choices that's costing them games and series.
Yes.
Beth says Marchand and Pasta were absent offensively, and I 100% agree. Pasternak hasn't had many shots on net at all. He was, if he didn't lead the league in shots during the regular season, he was close to the top. So, you know, he's not shooting the puck nearly as much as he should. Probably because Zaka can't win a fucking faceoff. But that's something else. Bart says, fire the coach. It's bullshit. Maroon on with 3 minutes left, and it's terrible. And I agree with all of that, Bart. Peter Delaney says, there's no logic behind taking out players that are doing well. Monty fucked the team, and they're winning. He stopped winning. Fire him regardless of the outcome. And I'll tell you.
Yeah, we've kind of talked about that.
I'm on board with that. Troy says it's over. On to next season. Monty needs to be fired. Trav. My bad, Trav. Jeff says, was it worth it to tank the last two regular season games? That's a good point, Jeff.
That's a good point.
Matt brought this up. Probably should have rather played Tampa Bay.
I wanted Tampa Bay.
They're lackadaisical. Five-on-five play rather than the Maple Leafs' very stout five-on-five play.
100%. 100%, Jeff.
Charlie says, Maroon and Brazo are too slow. Monty and his analytics need to be thrown in the trash. Monty needs to go, whether they win or lose Game 7. Time to clean house this summer. Grizz out, Lindholm out, trade Ullmark and another key player and a new coach. They have approximately $24 million to spend next season. I am with you on every single one of those moves, Charlie.
Yes.
Grizz out, Lindholm out, trade Ullmark, and another key player. And get
so
a new coach.
It's a question of who that is.
Yes. Trav is back and says, watch Monty start Ullmark with the laughing face emoji. It's a possibility.
I thought of that. Yeah.
Pajman says... Coyle and Zaka each had career years just as they can combine for zero goals in the series. They get absolutely owned at the dot. Like you both said, weak center play all series. You are 100% true and correct, just like we are. Trav says, yes, win or lose, Monty needs to go. David says, no worries, boys. Making Leafs happy. 5-1 Boston Saturday.
David, I love you.
I love you, buddy. I love the optimism. I hope to God you are right. I think it's going to be 5-1 in the other direction. But hopefully you are right and I am wrong. And if I am wrong, I will happily come on after game seven and say what an asshole I am for not believing in them. Peter says clean house, and then Charlie says DeBrusque is a free agent. Do the Bruins sign or trade him?
I think they sign him. I think they did. I think they. I mean, he's been pretty good.
He has been.
His ability to be pretty good in the postseason for the most part. He rises to the occasion. You know, for the most part, I think he's a better postseason player than regular season player. I just don't want to give him 6x6. I really don't. Like, I really don't.
No, but I don't either.
But I don't. I mean, they might try to give him 5x6 or something. I think they get it done.
Do you think like he's like one of the guys that they just need to get rid of and just start something new and fresh?
I'd let DeBrusque walk. I would just let him walk. I mean, I would. And I would consider trading like a Charlie Coyle. I've talked about this the last couple of years.
Yeah, you have.
Coyle. Like dangle Coyle and see what you can get. Strike while the iron's hot. He's 32. He had a career year, which he won't have again. I mean, he might have a similar year next year, but it's going to go the other direction pretty quickly.
Right.
I'd move on. I'd see what you could get for him. Like right now, his production, his salary is right about right for 60 points, you know? So I would dangle him and see what you can get. Maybe you can send him to a contender who needs a, you know, second or third line center. Possession guy, face-off guy, 200-foot player kind of guy, veteran. Maybe they give you something for him. I dangle him.
I'm with you. I would dangle. And speaking of dangling, Trav's going to come out and streak completely naked in his neighborhood cul-de-sac if the Bruins can win Game 7.
I'll tell you, that's a cul-de-sac.
They'll be dangling.
Trav's probably in what, Bill Ricker somewhere. Say, stay away from Drake it.
Yeah, stay away from Trav's neighborhood. Fender's Game 7 live from Trav's cul-de-sac. Trav will just be running around the stream nude if the Bruins win.
Yeah.
Oh, Trav's in Canada. He says, fuck the Leafs.
Canada, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully it's not too cold when Trav goes streaking after Game 7.
No, it's probably still cold up there.
Beth says, I don't want to wait another 30 years for a Stanley Cup like we did in 2011. And believe me, Beth, I'm with you there.
I'm with you.
We've been waiting a long time. And
I'll tell you what, you're going to want to listen to the episode after this series is over next week, because we're going to be breaking down everything we want to break down off this team. I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
for sure. Absolutely.
Eric says, not Swayman's fault. Marchand is too busy looking to fight, and Pasta is lost in space thinking about the $11 million he makes this year. Year after year, they do the same thing and choke. You know, until they prove something different, until they do something different, I think you're right. I mean, Marchand is a little bit too busy kind of trying to get in Bertuzzi's head and kind of going back and forth with him.
Too much of that now.
There's a little too much of that and not enough. Yeah. You know, he has an underrated shot, and he really needs to use it more. He's gotten away from it, especially the last few years. And I don't know if it's, you know, hand or wrist problems, or if he's just deferring a little bit to Pasternak too much. Right. But he does need to shoot the puck more, and that's an issue with him. And Pasternak, too, in this series has been kind of non-existent.
Yeah, so, he has, especially 5-on-5. Yeah. Charlie says, does Marchand deserve to keep the C? I think so. I mean, Marchand's done everything you'd expect of him. He's actually been a pretty good captain, I think. I mean, I don't think he has done anything to relinquish the C unless you really want to try to dangle him and trade him. I don't think they'll do that. I mean, he's going to ride off in the sunset and retire with Bruin and all that stuff. And, you know, just 3 or 4 days ago, he was owning the Leafs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I give him a little bit of a pass. It's Pasternak that's really needs to step up and do something in Game 7. If he has a game where he scores a goal or two, then they have a really good chance of winning Game 7. But if it's still the same sort of thing, then they're toast.
Yeah, I mean, and I think they're deferring a little too much to him. Like, the Leafs are all over Marchand. They know that's the secret to the Bruins' success. If Pasternak scores goals, the Bruins win. If he doesn't, they struggle. The rest of the team struggles to produce offense. So if they can hold him off the score sheet and make the Bruins pass to other guys and have other guys beat them, you know, that's what they're willing to do. And the Bruins still have not figured out yet that the Leafs are, you know, sometimes double teaming Pastrnak. There was a play towards the end of the third period. The puck was on the right wing boards. Marchand tries a slot pass to Pastrnak. There was three guys standing there. Like, he had no chance of getting a fucking shot off. And, you know, there's a guy down low, you know, put it down the wall to someone else. You've got to get pucks low and get them to the net. The same thing on the power play. The Leafs were playing hard against the guys on the wings, and the Bruins still haven't learned to get the move the puck quick down low and take the puck to the net. It's like, hold on to it on the wing and hold on to it on the wing and try to make a play. And, you know, it's not working out for them.
Just not working. Morgan Geeky did score with 0.1 to go.
Yes.
And you know what? As the game's wrapping up, I thought to myself briefly, like, hey, just score a goal here to maybe get in Wall's head that we scored. You know what I'm saying? Like, just or even you said to yourself, hey, we scored a goal. Like, just to kind of break that ice a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that might have any bearing on Saturday, that they scored a late goal, like they scored a goal. So I don't know if that does anything at all to affect how they go in or feel about, because they finally kind of, you know, broke the ice.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully. Maybe. I mean, that's the positivity that we're looking for.
Yeah. I mean, you're missed the positive tonight. Oh, I think they're going to score one goal again in game seven. So there you go.
One goal.
They'll break the ice again, but the Leafs will score four.
Yeah, right. Do you think they switch up the goaltenders?
I don't.
To wake people up, as David would say?
I do not think they will do that.
I don't think so. I don't think you can do that now. I think
Swayman's played. Swayman. I mean, it's none of this. Yeah, I mean, none of this is his fault. He's played great. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to wake the team up. It really has to be their star players need to play as well or better than the Leafs star players. And right now that's not happening. So until that happens, the Bruins will not win. They will not win the game. They will not win the series unless you know, the Marchand, Pastrnak. I saw some Bergeron talk in the comments here. Marchand, Pastrnak, Coyle, Zaka, you know, McAvoy, until those guys step up and play as well or better than the Nylanders, Marners, Domis, Tavareses, the Bruins aren't going to win the series. Simple as that.
No, I don't think so. And I think, I mean, do you think Neely and Sweeney might be gone if they lose this game?
They should be. I'll say that. They should be gone. I thought they should have been gone last year.
Yeah.
But they probably won't be, because I don't know if... I really don't think the Jacobs family care all that much about winning Stanley Cups. I really don't.
Right. Well, they get four ticket gates to get to game seven in round one. That's four playoff gates.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're committed to winning. That I just don't think they are. I don't think as a franchise they've ever really been committed to winning. Like, they didn't give Bork what he needed in those years.
Right.
You know, now Jacobs fought hard for the salary cap. Now they have a salary cap, so the costs are controlled, so they can spend like everybody else spends, you know, up to the cap limit. But, you know, they're not really committed to winning, and I don't think they ever have been, and I don't think they ever will be. And,
I'm with you.
You know, it's unfortunate, but that's where we are as a franchise. It's just, you know, I think they think it would be nice if they won. I think they would like to win, but I don't think they're committed to putting a winning product on the ice and committing to scouting and you know, for doing everything you need to do in order to, you know, put the best team possible on the ice every year. I just don't think they are committed to it.
I think the Patriots and Red Sox really affected the Bruins back in the mid 2000s there. When they won, I think the Bruins got the fever and really tried to win that one time because everybody was kind of doing it. So the Patriots win in 01, the Sox win in 04, the Celtics win in 08, And then here's the Bruins, like they're the last team to win. I think that motivated them some. So now since then, you know, back to where we were when we were kids with Harry Sinden and being one player away, two players away every single year, like just not doing what it needs to be done to get over the hump. And they're kind of back to that thing again. And I'm not sure they get rid of Sweeney and Neely because they did make the playoffs. They did get four playoff gates. And, you know, if that's the low bar, as long as they get there, I think they stay. And I think that, and they're very sort of incestuous. Like they love to just hire within, keep their Bruins family. It's a really small organization in a sense where they keep everybody sort of, you know, if they don't go outside a lot, it's always sort of in-house and keep it in tight. And I think they keep Neely and Sweeney, but I think they do. I think Montgomery's definitely the scapegoat if they lose Saturday night. Well, the Bruins lose 2-1 to Toronto in game six. Series tied at 3. We've been here before. Game seven is at TD Garden Saturday night. We'll be wrapping it up. Hopefully a win, potentially a loss in another blown 3-1 series.
What's
lead.
Your, we got to do, oh, my, we got to do predictions.
My prediction is 3-0 Toronto Maple Leafs.
Wow, you don't even think they're going to score a goal now?
No, I think they're going to get shut out.
Wow.
I really do.
Shut out at home.
They're not generating any 5-on-5 offense and not showing me that they can.
Well, like, I can't say that I disagree with you that badly because I think the Leafs are going to win 4-1. So I do think the Bruins will score one goal, but they'll give up four. So, that's not good. Neither of our predictions are good. You have been on it for predictions all year long. So that does not also bode well for the Bruins. Well. But you know what you should do is you should subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you're there right now, sign up, subscribe, go over there, subscribe to the channel so you can get all of this fantastic content of us just shitting on the Bruins. You know, commentary. maybe we'll have some video live of Trav streaking through his neighborhood naked. If the Bruins satellite. Do happens for some, you know, grace of God, miraculous miracle, somehow find a way to win game seven. Maybe we'll have some video of that up on the channel. We both think they're going to lose game seven. We said it at the beginning of the series. If it went seven games, the Bruins were in trouble.
I stick to that. This is exactly what they don't want.
We both said Bruins in six, and if it gets to seven, the Bruins are in big trouble. And here we are going to game seven, and we both agree that the Bruins are in big trouble. So, we will see you after the game on Saturday night, breaking it all down. Sure. Subscribe to the YouTube.
Yes, absolutely. David, thanks for your kind words, brother. Hey, everybody's invited to the party Saturday night after game seven, the big dub. Everybody's invited. bring your clothes, though. Wear some clothes. we'll be back Saturday night after game seven. Thanks for joining us. Hey, go Bruins.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Let's go, Bees!